coming. It's 5 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting of Port of the River to order. And I'm sure you're all here to do the bridge and transportation report that we've got. We'll go through the cable park vote first, and then we'll continue with our rather lengthy agenda. You're all welcome to stay, but there won't be any more discussion about the cable park issues as soon as we get past the ordinance and vote. So the cable park portion of the meeting is just broken up into three very simple categories. We'll hear from staff, a quick report on their staff analysis. You'll give us an update, or Lori will give us an update on the American summary of the public input. And then we'll have some discussion and possible action. So with that, I would ask staff to give us a quick update on your, what you found.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to start out with a personal opinion, which I rarely do, but I just want to applaud this board for the process that you directed us to undertake. I truly feel this was, it took a while, it was many months, a lot of public input, but it was transparent. We used our website to post documents that the public could see, the same ones that you were seeing, and I think that it was well worth the effort. And then I'm going to turn and thank staff, especially Lori Borden and Liz Whittemore, for the work that they did. Lori especially has consolidated all the public input we received into binders. And I'll give you a little rundown, but there's something on the order of 1,400 separate bits of public information or public comment that we received through email, through letter, through petition, through all sorts of means. And I really want to applaud her and Liz for the work they did. And for the commission, again, thanks to the four of you that went to Ohio to check out the cable park. I'm waiting for the YouTube videos to come out so we can post those, but thanks for that commitment of time you made. So in terms of public input, I'll just give a brief summary, and Lori, correct me if I missed anything or had anything. So we received input from 1,253 separate individuals. Some people sent multiple comments and signed a petition and also sent an email and things like that. So that's probably close to 1,400 or 1,500 total. Of those that were received, and again, of separate individuals providing comment, 634 were opposed, and 619 were in favor of this commission taking action to move forward. So almost an equal split of for and against. And if you broke that down further, and I have the numbers if you want to have them, I would say the majority, there's far more of the people opposed to it that were from the gorge area as defined of somewhere east of Troutdale to somewhere around Morrow. So there was more individuals that commented from out of the area that were in support than were opposed to it, for what that's worth. But again, a lot of public input. The input closed on Friday at 5 o'clock, and we did receive additional bits of information that further directed to essentially close the counting and close the board at 5 o'clock. And I see Cindy Walbridge here. I want to just make sure I'm correct here, but the City Planning Commission is scheduled to hear the cable park matter on the 19th, so next Monday. Although there's a bold note that says that action could be postponed or it could be avoided altogether, depending on what the commission says tonight. But the city is prepared to begin deliberations on site plan review for this action on Monday, dependent upon your decision. In terms of staff analysis, let me go through this briefly. I hope that was of some help to you. I want to thank Isaac Taylor for the yeoman's work she did on that, especially the correlation, the references that were made to input that we received or specific documents. But a lot of work, and thank you, Isa. I also want to clarify that there was a little discrepancy in that report. We did have Eric Carlson do a quick takeoff of the land area, and based on or dependent upon where you measure the cable park area that would be the subject to a lease or the substantial use of the area for cable park operations, is somewhere between 8 and 9 acres. And the total area of the Nichols Basin, again, dependent upon where you measure, but more or less at the north end of the cruise ship dock, is about 12 acres. So you can do the math, but it's that's the ratio that's being considered here. What we did is identified the broad decision criteria, and those are listed in the report. But more importantly, we listed the specific decision criteria and aggregated them according to the court's mission statement. So the bookends of quality of life and economic development were the way in which we allocated those the different criteria. And most of those were based on the direction you gave us at a meeting this summer. The challenge here was to sum up what the proponent said generally, aggregate all the comments we received into a few sentences, and then what the opponents and proponents were fairly summarized. And I hope we did that well. It was a bit of a challenge given all the information, but we tried to be very objective but clear about what a summation statement would be on each item. And lastly, I'll say that a disclaimer that we did not provide, nor ISA or Jerry have not provided a specific opinion on the, I should say, legality of the lease of the basin relative to the public use or the public trust doctrine. So we have not entered that. There is evidence that we've received, indications from some of the opponents that were indicated that it's likely that the Hood River flowed through the Nichols Basin at some point in the future. But beyond that, we haven't entered the waters about whether a cable park per se would be limited or excluded and would, under the public use of public trust doctrine. So we haven't provided an opinion on that. So the commission decision tonight is simply whether you, this is not an, not a decision to lease the Nichols Basin or enter any specific agreement with the NATO. Rather, it's to decide whether you wish staff to enter into negotiations, begin negotiations, and come back to you with updates and then ultimately a proposed lease for your consideration. So two separate actions. That the final action would be approval of a lease, subject, of course, to negotiation on the terms and conditions. So there's two possible approaches here. The one approach is that you have some discussion and then there's no motion and or no second. So there's no action taken because no one wanted to put something down on the table and ask for action on it. It's likely, it's probably better to take an affirmative action one way or another, and to do that you'd need an action or a motion and a second. And of course, if there is a motion and a second and following discussion, if the vote is no, then the cable park is effectively over. So the city process will end and staff will go back to the other projects before us. If you vote yes to proceed into negotiations, you could do that. A simple vote, a majority vote of yes, and you could then come back and consider any specific terms and conditions that you want to put down, give staff direction in executive session. So unless there are questions, that's the report I wanted to make to you tonight.
Okay, thank you very much, Michael. Excellent work as always, and we'll applaud you because it was a very good report. As you all can see, I mean, this is just a small sampling of the amount of information we gathered on this project. Every commission has been provided a binder, quite a bit of information, a lot to correlate. So thanks for putting it in a framework for us. Any questions on the report from the commissioners?
It was thorough.
It was.
It was thorough.
Yeah. But.
So just to reiterate what Michael just said, in a few seconds here, I'll ask to see if there's a motion. If no one cares to make a motion, this discussion will die for lack of a motion. If there's a motion made, we'll have a second, and then we'll have a chance for each of the commissioners to publicly, I think for the first time, publicly tell us how they feel about the issue here. And if they go to that, I will ask them in order of seniority, except for the person who ever makes the motion, we go for it. So just a little point of order about what to expect. So with that, I would accept a motion on the guild block.
Chairman, I'll enter a motion for discussion. I move to authorize staff to begin negotiations with NBW River LLC to lease a portion of the Nichols Bowl Basin for the purpose of constructing and operating a cable park. Major provisions of the lease would be a five-year cap, posting bond, ensure removal, and maintaining an open area on the west edge for water access by kayak shed.
Okay, it's been moved. Do I hear a second? For the sake of moving the discussion forward, I will second the motion. And so now we'll take some deliberation. So by honor of making the first motion, Fred, you want to tell us how you feel about the cable park?
I have six reasons I'd like to share. The cable park clearly fits in with the Fourth Mission's economic development. It will enhance the river's international recreational reputation, expand our water recreation base, improve our economy, make an important additional contribution to it by extending tourism into the shoulder seasons, which is a perpetual goal of local merchants and chamber of commerce. If you've actually seen one, the operation of the cable park system is whisper quiet, the power structure is visible but unobtrusive, the whole structure system is environmentally friendly. According to the Corps of Engineers and Tetra Inc., the basin has minimal habitat restoration potential. The area is an ex-brownfield site with aluminum, chromium, copper, and zinc still contaminating the soils. It also has adverse temperature levels for most desirable fish species from July and mid-September. We still have superb quality sites for multiple activities. A full 25% of the basin is still available, along with a hook, and with very little additional work can be made user-friendly for launching canoes, kayaks, SUPs, and gangland surfers. You can have it both ways. Lastly, a five-year cap creates a perfect laboratory to test all the theories, assertions, allegations, both for and against the cable park, and see if any or all of them hold water. Decisions for the future of the cable park system can be made from an empirically more educated perspective.
Well said, Fred. Thank you. We'll turn to Hobie.
Well said. You know, my view is a little bit different than Commissioner Duckwalt's. I'm not sure that it's the right location for a cable park. I feel that there's a concern that for joint use access between the city and the user of the cable park and also the users of the water basin. For me, it was a tough decision. It came down to several people I asked their opinion that I thought were professional individuals in the industry. After actually experiencing a cable park, how it works, how it operates, myself personally, I'm not there. I'm not convinced that it's the best thing for the river and the city of the river.
Okay. Good. Mr. McBride.
Well, as is obvious from my two co-commissioners here, there are different sides to this story, and both sides have presented us compelling arguments. I am interested in development of that basin. I have driven by it on a daily basis, and it's terribly underutilized. And as much as I would like to see it utilized, I think that we need to be very careful about how we move forward and develop. I have been moved by Heather Staten's efforts and vision for the basin. I think that she has laid out a plan that peers further into the future and provides an opportunity to envision the waterfront in a different way than maybe we would have ever chosen to before. You know, the one in the hand or two in the bush is always a difficult thing, and we have an opportunity here, and all these commissioners are very interested in developing Nichols Bowl Basin. We have seen it set like it is for far too long, but the choice of whether to put a motorized cableway in there. To me, it's not something that we should put in our front yard. And this is our front yard. So I am willing to take the two in the bush and to look forward and envision a green space and a pathway with amenities that will make it in the future a more utilized waterway. And in that respect, I would hold up Drake Park in Bend, Oregon as an example of a waterway that is not particularly heavily used. I've been the only canoer on it numerous times in my lifetime. But it is an aesthetic advantage for that whole community to have that waterway open and accessible to all. And so that's where I come down on.
Thank you. Commissioner Short.
This is 12 months.
A long process.
We've had this conversation going on for 12 minutes. I haven't been shy about my sentiments. I have. I have been called a hound.
It's pretty funny.
I grew up in the Northwest, and you know, I have a wonderful store downtown, and for 12 months out of the year, I get to listen to locals and people from not only throughout the United States, but if you look at our door, we have people come in from all over the world to come to the Gorge. And, you know, so I look at just this quality of life. I mean, my favorite saying to guests or people that come to the area is that from Hood River, you have two national forests, you have two mountains, you have five rivers. And this is what we represent as this natural setting. And this is the primary reason that people come to the Gorge, is because of what we have here. You know, as far as waterfront property, I grew up around waterfront property, and you are not going to recreate or build waterfront property anymore. You know, the environmental constraints, the desires of public access are so high now that it's too valuable. I mean, to me, it's a priceless component. You know, and I realize that there are some historical past uses that need to be addressed. There's some of our own issues that need to be addressed in terms of, you know, port stewardship. But from a quality of life standpoint, you know, the cable park doesn't fit my particular views on this. From an economic development standpoint, and this has been a challenge for me to look at it, and I certainly enjoyed Rickson and some others coming here where I had a chance to challenge them and ask them, you know, could we become a national site? Could we anticipate large growth of international or national competition? The problem I have with that is that whether you realize it or not, and being in the downtown location I am, we're already loved to death during the summer. I mean, we have four blocks of traffic stacked up from the middle of July into early September. So, you know, I look for things that are going to do shoulder months or off seasons as making significant contributions. So the economic development enhancement of bringing more people to the Gorge, if it was maybe in the Dalles or Stevenson or Bingen or down at Cascade Locks, I would applaud that consideration. But, you know, Hood River is an epicenter, and that's why people come here. The third part of this is highest and best use, and I'll come back to the testimony that we heard. You know, we heard seven, maybe eight different user groups that are interested in that. Some of them have business dependency, and some of them just have casual or you know, freedom of use. I mean, it's one of the few access points that doesn't cost you any money or that's relatively easy to get to. So I don't want to preempt the discussion that I've had with our recreation committee about looking at all the waterfront components from the hotel all the way down to the hook, but we really need to do that as a port. We need to evaluate, narrate, and then understand what the highest and best uses are. And right now, I can't step up and say I would vote for the cable park.
Okay. That leaves.
Sure. As long as I'm sitting here twisting in the wind, and You know, it takes a motion to create the discussion. But I think one of the important reasons for considering the Scale Park is the Esplanade project has come to a standstill, a blockade, a dead stop. This is an effort to get something moving, and I think we need to get something moving on the waterfront. It doesn't mean it's going to come to fruition, necessarily. And like Michael said, Executive Director, all it does is create the opportunity to discuss the provisions for a lease. Something has got to move. And we're going to get to the point where we're not going to develop anything down here on Lockwood. It's going to look just like it looks now, and we're going to enjoy the beauty of that every single day of the year. It's ugly. So, I mean, we've got to get off the dime and do something, and it's just not happening. I think there's a reluctance for at least for one party to negotiate. I think public issue, I'd write out public, everybody can see it, and that isn't happening.
Well, Fred, I'll take that as a segue to launch into my points. And I had written them down, but I think I'll go with just the heartfelt ad lib version. But it's impossible to talk about the Kale Park without talking about the Friends of the Gorge. And I have to confess that during my tenure as a commissioner, one of the most difficult things I have had to do is to separate my feelings for how that group has operated with the issues of the Cable Park. And I want to make it clear that I do not think their actions have benefited anybody. And in my view, they seek to usurp public process. By going to court, you're going around the Planning Commission, you're going around the Port Commission. And I don't necessarily appreciate that view. So, but the issues of the Cable Park are not related to how I feel about that group. So I've specifically, in my recap of the issues at hand here, have put all that to the side. I've not let that influence my decision on the Cable Park. And with your okay, I'd like to just run through some of these. I went down kind of issue by issue as the way I saw them. And, you know, more or less made a tea list of kind of how I thought. And I might share that with you guys. You might, you know, there were a lot of specific issues. And, hopefully I don't bore you to death.
Mommy?
So I asked myself, you know, is it a complementary sport? And yeah, I think it would be. I think it would fit in well with our other sports at the waterfront. Is it environmentally friendly? And I thought, yes, I think that is a very environmentally friendly thing. I really appreciate Will's suggestion that he powers it by solar panels. I thought that was great. Is it usable by a wide variety of people? You know, there's some complaints that you've got to pay a high fee, and it seems to be exclusionary by that result. I don't think the fee was that exclusionary. You have to pay to play golf. You have to pay to go skiing. I didn't think that was a big deal. Could it be used in a non-exclusive use, meaning if there was no buoy line, you know, would that work? And I can't imagine a situation that it would. I think you've got to have a buoy line there. So that was my take on that. Would the Cable Park have an economic impact? I think it would have a positive economic impact. I don't think it would be as big as the NATO suggested would be, but it would be a positive. Would there be an associated benefit to local businesses? And yes, there would be a strong benefit to some businesses in the area that would stand to benefit greatly if there was a Cable Park here. Those businesses that are already in the industry. Some of the opponent issues were, you know, is it loud? Our trip to the Cale Park, you know, we verified it is not loud. You can barely hear it. It's very quiet. Is it unsightly? Fred and I were at Cincinnati there, and the towers and the cables, I didn't find obtrusive. On the other hand, I did find the jumps and the obstacles to be obtrusive, so a little bit of both. Would it be bad for the fish? I really don't think it would be. I don't think anything's in the water that's going to hurt the fish. You're going to have some oxygenated thing. I don't think it's an environmental concern. Would removal be a concern? I don't think so. It could be bondable. We could take it out. The lease fee, that wasn't a concern of mine. I think we could negotiate. The neighbors have been very good negotiators, and I think we could probably find reasonable terms in that regard. Impact on Lot 1. It's hard to know for sure how it would impact Lot 1. We have some future developments there, but my estimation is that the port, at least, would be better off to not have the Cable Park there than to have the Cable Park there. I think businesses would be more likely to rent spaces and buildings that were there if there was not a Cable Park. So that's how I felt about that. Impact on current users, and this had a lot of discussion, and in my view, it was vastly overrated. I am at that basin. In the springtime, I was there 3 days a week, and 90% of the people that use that basin would not be using the park that was affected by the Cable Park. So there was a lot of talk about, well, we use the big park, blah, blah, blah. I really think that that was overblown. I don't think a lot of people use it on a regular basis. However, I would put a footnote on that, that any use is important, and that there was a significant increase in use over the past year. That trend might continue, might not. You know, science points to yes, but that's to be determined. So there was a great deal of public input. I weighed that carefully. I read every email and letter, and that's a lot of reading, and I can't tell you what they all said, because I can't remember them all, but I read them. there were some that were, there were quite a few that were threatening, and I found that that had the opposite effect on me. And when I read a threatening email, I thought, you know, this is, it almost made me go the other way, and it immediately put you on the defensive, and I found that had a counter effect to what the player's intent was. For the opponents, there was a large volume of local input, and that cannot be ignored. For the proponents, I sensed a real need for more sporting opportunities for the younger audiences. And we have this demographic of 18 to 25. And in some respects, this whole issue could be characterized as a younger generational thing versus the older generational thing. And you'll see a lot of input corresponding that way. The younger folks are in favor, the older folks are against it. And that was a bit unfortunate for me to see, but I think it points out that there is a need for more activities for younger folks. So in the end, obviously you can find a lot of reasons to justify a vote either way. I'm going to build into my decision some inputs from friends and community leaders that I expect, people like Steve Gates, who's here, Rich Truax, Ann Frodel, Eric Brettlinger. I found their testimony compelling because it really said, this is just a thing that I just don't see fits into our future vision of the waterfront. And there really wasn't much more justification than that. It's just something that we don't really think fits well there. So I'm inclined to vote against it. So sorry if that was a little bit long-winded, but I want to get it all out there. I feel much better now. We have more discussion. More debate, commissioners. Is there before you vote, is there any other information you need to fill out and make your decision? Okay, at this time I'll call for a vote. All in favor of the motion?
All right.
All opposed?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Probably you are. Okay. So with that, the Cable Park discussion has ended for the most part. Part of the board's concern. So, you guys.
Thank you for your hard work.
Before you leave, I might throw one more comment in, and I'm going to direct it right to the NATOs. And maybe I shouldn't read this one.
We've taken enough.
This is the part of the port's mandate is to have economic development. And to that end, I want to applaud you for putting this forth and bringing your time and your energy and bringing this proposal to us. This is the kind of thing that, in my view at least, I think the court needs to encourage. And I think it was a very difficult decision, but the no answer today, I don't want you to take that as your investment isn't welcome here. It certainly is. And we're looking forward to working with you on the hotel. So I don't know if that sentiment is shared by the commissioners, but if you'd like to add anything in that regard.
We just hope you get that far.
So do we.
I think that's a full consensus of the board. I agree with Dr. Duckwall's comments earlier. And there's many of you in the audience who are sitting here that need to flip your coin over and start working in a proactive way.
And the city's already done its job and did it correctly. It doesn't need to be done again.
Yeah, Cindy, please.
The application will still be on our agenda for Monday night because since we've advertised it and sent notice out, we'll have to open it and the planning commission will have to make a decision. So you're going to see that it continues, but they will make a decision based on lack of property owner consent.
So you're saying we don't have to show up Monday night?
You don't have to.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I would have to just applaud the community as a whole. I think we did a very good job with all the process here. A lot of people are going to be disappointed. A lot of people are going to be happy, but I think it was a good process in general.